Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 509, The Devourer of All Things.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
Hello.
Yes. And we're here wrapping up the first half of the last season of Prodigy.
We are rapidly heading towards the end.
Yeah, we got five more pairs of episodes.
Oh.
And then we're done already.
Now we're done. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Then it's on to Strange New Worlds.
Yeah. Woo.
So, yeah.
For the most part, woo.
And that, you know, for the first couple seasons, for sure. But first, we gotta wrap this up, and we got another one of them big two-parters, and I did not have a good time. You, I think, had a better time than I had.
I had half of a good time.
Well, that's more of a good time. I'm not gonna have a good time tonight. That's me.
The Dancing Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Dancing Brothers' shoes broke, and they sneezed themselves into comas.
Ah, jeez, that's harsh.
All right, let's do some devouring. You devour half the things, and then I'll take over and devour the other half of the things.
I'm going to devour half the things. Mm-hmm. So we start the episode with the protopals speeding towards the planet where Chakotay is finally supposed to be found, and they arrive to find a giant M.C. Escher-style empty pyramid. So after wandering down the upstairs for a while, they come across a mysterious giant vault. And behind that mysterious giant vault is famed murderer Wesley I Killed a Guy Crusher, who proceeds to do my least favorite thing Will Wheaton does, and talk, and talk, and talk. All the exposition? Yeah, enjoy that. Okay, let's keep this brief. Wesley's a traveler. Wesley explores dimensions. Wesley's attempting to stop time ghost squids from eating the universe now that it's been weakened by paradoxes. See, that didn't take long at all. You're welcome. Then everything freezes except Gwyn, and then she and Wesley flee for a while. We get a look at the time guys, and they're like, glow-in-the-dark, octopus dragons. I don't know. They eat time, or mind, or something. Then they get special anti-time bracelets and then flee to a swinging pad in the 60s. Meanwhile, Janeway and company arrive at Pyramid Planet and take it away, Al.
Thank you. So taking it away implies that this episode went someplace when mostly what it did was run around the stupid time ziggurat liggety-split, pursued by some stupid time worms, or squids, as Maggie says. It's all very stupid. The kids listen to Wesley drone on and on in Gary Seven's apartment because even though the travelers and their associates keep watch over the entire multiverse, somehow everything always comes back to 20th century Earth. Meanwhile, Janeway sends some guys down to find the kids. One of them dies. His name doesn't really matter since the time worms made it so he never had existed. Tysis manages to make it out of there okay, but one crew person, let's call her Majel since that's her name, stays behind to rescue her... Well, I struggled with the appropriate terminology until I spotted Maggie's very helpful note, her they friend. Thanks for that one, Maggie. Wesley actively tries to murder Majel, as is keeping with his role as a murderer. But the power of Dal's reckless pushing whatever button he feels like pushing saves the day, and now Majel's part of the gang, officially. Back on Voyager, Kate begins losing crew left and right, which is our best indication that all of this is eventually going to be undone by some big fucking reset button. She does manage to change into her diehard tank top and take out some time worms, which is pretty cool, I guess. Then the kids, with Majel, yay!
Yay!
Jump into a time hole. And there, waiting for them on whatever planet that hole led to, is fucking Chakotay. In case you were wondering if this could all get any worse or more boring. In conclusion, this episode devoured a lot of things, but what it really should devour is my entire butt. Ugh, God, I hated these. A low point, I would say.
I had a mostly good time with the second part.
Yeah,
listening to this, a lot of it may have been overshadowed by Janeway being a complete fucking badass.
Oh, Janeway had some fantastic get away from her, you bitch moments that were fun to see. And we always enjoyed that back in the day. And she's still good. I could see the emotions of that taking over and you saying, yeah, I like this.
Because Wesley, the visiting character for this episode, the big reveal and everything, sucked.
Yeah, it sure did. And you're not wrong to say 90% of the first episode is exposition, but also I timed it because I wanted for my summary to figure out how long he was. He's talked for an additional 5 minutes out of 20. So that's a quarter of the episode.
And it's like, so annoying.
Yeah, and it doesn't explain anything. It's that thing I always complained about back in the day with Voyager, with Brandon Braga's writing style, where people spend so much time explaining things that don't make any sense, and explaining them just makes it worse because you're calling attention to the fact that it doesn't make sense.
Yep.
And if you're going to spew off, like the point of technobabble is a smokescreen. It's to say, this works because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it's so we don't have to spend 20 minutes explaining why a thing that doesn't make sense makes sense.
The only reason I could conceivably see spending this long to explain it is if it actually works in real science and you want to show off how cool it was that you thought of this thing, but that is not the case here.
Yeah, that's when you bring back Dr. Aaron McDonald.
Yes, exactly so.
A character I would love to see again, not like Wesley.
I found she apparently has done, there's a series of, it's like college level courses called The Great Courses. That are like one that I've taken before is like 24 video season of like teaching science, like how to study science fiction, basically.
Oh,
cool. And it helped me a lot when we were writing Endeavor to like do kind of a deep college level dive on it. And she's got one of like the science of science fiction. So my library has that. I'm excited to dive into that.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Anyway. I would like to hear her explain things. I do not give a fuck about Wesley Crusher.
Oh, God, no.
And we're going to get into this because this is your good thing and your bad thing, really, like about him. Mm-hmm. But like, would you agree he is in no way like any version of this character we have seen before?
Not at all. Like, this could have been anybody. The only reason it's Wesley Crusher is because, like, that's a character people have heard of, you know?
And, you know, they did establish the whole traveler thing. Like, if you need someone in this role, that's somebody you could use, I guess. But his whole weird, like, coked up energy did not fit any version of him I've ever seen before.
No, it felt like Will Wheaton came in and was like that. Oh, sorry.
I was saying even when he popped up in Picard, he wasn't like that.
No, and that he was just smug. And this, he was smug and talked really fast.
Yep.
He's so smug. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's terrible. Well, let's get into it. What's your... I mean, we've already basically said your bad thing.
I mean, my bad thing is how much exposition was in this by a character who I was not excited at all to see when he showed up.
Yeah. But your good thing relates to him, too, actually.
I was shocked, that this episode was willing to let Wesley Crusher be kind of pathetic, actually. His big plan after he does all of his explaining and shit is to hide, and then he's absolutely willing to sacrifice Majelle just to keep doing it. Like, the urge to take a legacy character, especially one that has been so universally hated, like, and then make them a cool badass hero in the new show must have been utterly overwhelming. But God, all he did was just suck and suck some more.
Yep, and he kept, like, making it sound like, even among the travelers, like, they don't really approve of the way he does things.
Yep.
And, like he's not good at his new job either.
Yeah, exactly. And, this is one of those things I had to think. I'm like, do I think this because, like, I don't like the character? It's like, no, as far as I can tell, this is what the episode is showing me. And what it is showing me is that Wesley Crusher is bad at this job and shouldn't be doing it.
Well, what they seem to be doing, and I think you agree with me because I think I saw this in your notes, like they were trying to turn him into the Doctor from Doctor Who.
Yes. Flonk said the same thing to me when I was talking to him last night.
Yeah. It's like, and the energy I was getting was sort of David Tennant, Matt Smith era.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of manic, you're kind of too young to be the Doctor, but whatever.
Yeah.
Like running around babbling about time and all that. Mm-hmm. And he thinks he's quirky and he keeps using metaphors. He keeps talking about sweaters.
He talks about sweaters so goddamn much.
At first, he's talking about sweaters, and it's like, okay, it's Wesley Crusher, and he wore those ugly sweaters. That's a callback. Whatever, that's fine.
It's not a good callback. Like, that's not funny.
No, but if it's just a one-liner, I'll let it pass. It's fine. We've endured so much worse.
Sure.
But recently. Mm. But then he decides to explain all the time stuff with sweaters, and he refers to these things as like moths eating through the sweaters of time, and something about the loom, and like, shut up.
That's what he calls the monsters. They're the loom.
Now, you and I, a couple of years ago, you started reading these horrible, horrible books, and I'm like, ooh, it's been a while since we covered Star Trek. This was during that period where we had stopped the show for a while.
Yes,
and I was like, I'll read these along with my pal Maggie. This will be all right. And we both hated these books.
They were so bad. I don't know why I finished all three of them, but I absolutely did.
Same. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even discuss them that long. I think we had one conversation. It wasn't like we did it so we could get an hour's worth of show out of it. We talked about it for 10 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
It was not worth 14 hours of book or whatever. These are very bad novels. They are. But you remember there was something about some extra temporal force eating like discarded realities or something,
yes,
right?
I have this note in. If I don't have this note then I forgot to write it down. But yeah, in that it was the weird like the Time's Arrow worm things,
right? So basically, they're going with that similar concept.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing, except they made like. They ripped off the Matrix Sentinels instead of like a thing that was in Star Trek, which surprised me.
Yeah, and they also it's like they eat discarded timelines. Like if you change time so bad that the timeline isn't viable, then they eat it. And it's like time travel has never worked this way in Star Trek before. And what is different about this time? Like, they fucked it up and there's a paradox right now. I do understand that. But why is this particular changing of time different than all the other, like First Contact, like the Bell Riots, like all those other times?
Yeah, like,
this one is the one.
Like, fucking Captain Sisko's like a famous guy in history now. And like.
And that's before he became Jesus to a planet.
Exactly. Like,
he's also famous on Earth.
No one showed up to eat anything in that I can remember.
No, but like in First Contact for a while, Earth was all Borged out because the Borg fucked up the past bad. And like that didn't send the time worms in. The fucking the Kelvin timeline didn't send the time worms in.
Like, nope.
What's special about this?
Yeah.
Gwyn's not going to live. OK.
I don't understand why the timeline cares about her. I barely care about her.
Yeah. I want to, but
yeah,
the show's
that's the
not
thing.
Helping.
I've been thinking about this a lot, too. I'm like, I gave her a lot of rope over the course of this show, and she's still not very interesting.
Nope. Because she's a plot force more than a person.
Yeah.
I don't, like, pretty much all these other kids are broad, not in a bad way, like broad in a very clearly defined kids show drawn with a thick line so you know exactly what they're like way, which I don't mind. And if you asked me what any of them would think about a certain thing or what they, you know, what they're into, I could tell you. But with her, I have no clue.
Yeah, just, I don't know. Yeah. Quiet. Mm-hmm. Sword.
Sad.
Sad.
Sad. Sad sword. There.
Sad sword.
Mm-hmm. Nailed it. My bad thing.
Yes.
So, on top of everything else, Wesley is just this massive deus ex machina. Like, what they've done is written themselves this time travel thing that they can't get themselves. It's so obvious the writers started with the problem first, didn't have a good solution, and said, well, here's a guy who lives outside of time who can fix this.
Yep.
Like, to me, if you were going to write a twisty, turny time travel story, it needs to be clever, and you need to, like, come up with a way out of it before you start.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just saying, well, Wesley fixed it, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's cheating, you know what I mean?
You really can't, like, there's plenty of times where you can be like, I'll figure this out when I get to it. Like,
yeah, but
you can't do that with an extremely intricate time travel story.
No, and I've seen plenty, not really in Star Trek very much, occasionally, but I've seen plenty of good time travel stories where it's like a puzzle, like a good, well-constructed puzzle, and it's interesting. But this is just... it's just whatever nonsense they feel like doing, and then they said, and then Wesley fixed it, and they jumped in a hole. Like, that's nothing.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, like, for time, it's not really a time travel story. It's a monster story because most of this episode, these two episodes are based around them running away from monsters. It's not the time stuff that really matters.
That's true. Time is just what they're calling it, but it is just it is just squids. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's a squid monster showed up because time.
I think the fact that you perceived it that way as Janeway versus monsters explains a lot of why you liked episode two, and I can get that a little better now.
Yeah. No, I'm just like, just look at. Also, it was towards the end, and that's always like if you stick all the Wesley stuff at the beginning and all the Janeway killing squids at the end, like of course I'm gonna walk out in a better mood.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they hit some strong emotional beats that absolutely, you know, they got me too, but not as much as they got you, I think. But my good thing is probably the only reason you didn't pick this as your good thing is because you don't want to make this your good thing every week.
Mm-hmm.
Was Maigel.
Yep.
Was like I have gotten tired. This is a Star Trek cliche. I'd be happy to never see again. The Starfleet officer does whatever the fuck they want despite their superior what's his name? I wrote it down.
Oh,
That's not Tysis. That's
Tysis. Yeah.
Yeah. Tysis says, "Okay, we got to beam back. We all got to go. Like we lost a guy. I cannot lose you. You are a cadet. Come on, let's go." And she just drops her comm badge and stays and like is pretty hardcore. And again, I'm real sick of, "Oh, I don't understand you, or I didn't hear your orders, or I'm doing whatever." Janeway pulls this shit on Jellico.
Yeah, and she's it was like, great.
We're going through a tunnel. I can't hear you.
I love that. So we're going through a warp warp tunnel. What? We are.
But that's just the same, like, you know, it's the year 1999 and my cell phone is I'm driving through an actual tunnel. Like, she's just doing that.
But, gotta go. Oh, no.
But it's a long Star Trek tradition. I'm going to do what I want and ignore what my superior. And I'm real tired of that. But that said, Maigel is a big damn hero in this one. So it's like she braves the odds and gets in there and is reunited with Zero. And they have some really great moments together. They get to physically touch. That's nice.
They do a headbutt, which you all know what that means. That's basically kissing.
No, touching fingers, if you'll recall, is kissing.
That's true.
Touching heads is like third base, I think. Like, that's way further than finger touching is what I'm saying.
Zero's like, "We've got to move quickly because I just got genitals and I don't know how long they're going to last."
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good Zero.
Thank you.
But yeah, seeing them reunited and Wesley saying, I thought it was the six of you that have to go, but it's really the seven of you. And now Maigel's part of this whole thing. And like, that's great. I love that.
I really liked that part where, like, I called it from the second they were doing it. I need all six of you to get on your special platforms.
Well, yeah, it's weird because she's there and she's just watching them all go because it's their special destiny. And like, wow, that's rude.
Yeah, it's like, well, it won't work. It's not going to work without her. Oh, it won't work without her. Skibbity dibbity. Do I'm Wesley Crusher.
Flippity do, that cheese sandwich is toasted. Probably haven't thought about that one in a while.
What is that from?
That's a fucking Patton Oswalt.
Yes.
The magician thing.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see. What else? I just wrote down, he's like Doctor Who if Doctor Who sucked. Oh, they really come back to that bullshit season one, next gen, time, space, and thought thing, which I thought we were finally just sweeping that under the rug and saying, it's not that it didn't happen, but we never need to bring this up again. Nope, it comes up a lot here.
And then he's literally just does that like, and time could be mind. I'm like, that's dumb. You're dumb.
What is matter? Never mind. Watch out, boys. World War III.
Hey, Dad.
Oh,
good
hey,
night,
Rock Talk.
Lisa.
Okay, Rock Talk.
Rock Talk has a real Mariner moment when she finds out who Wesley is.
What'd
and
she
she's
say?
Like,
oh,
she's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh wow, Wesley Crusher, the youngest person to ever enter Starfleet, the person who served on the Enterprise D before when they were like 13, right, yeah, a member of Nova Squadron, and I'm like, well, okay, listen, I already had enough problems with Majel being in Nova Squadron, yeah, a thing I don't think should exist anymore.
True, but that also said, of all of them, I feel mm-hmm. like Rock knowing who that is does kind of make sense.
Oh, that makes the absolute most sense in the world. Like, if literally nothing else, I can see her when she was stuck in time going, I should look into what Starfleet is. We're yeah. real excited about going there. Let's do some checking up here.
Are there any children as smart as me? Like, are there other people who they've let in early and like, oh, this guy, okay.
All right. Oh, wow, he's real annoying. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just wait. He'll get annoyinger.
Mm-hmm. I just picture Rock Talk like, I don't have time to go over all of these logs. If only there was an audio show I could listen to that would explain it to me really quickly.
Oh, if only. Someone's got to listen to us.
This started annoying, and then the two people on it got real gay at the end.
Mm-hmm. Turns out the gay was in us all along.
It sure was.
Mm-hmm. I have a note here, but oh yeah, Wesley starts going on about, oh God, who was it? Was it Miles Davis?
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those, like, here's one of the five jazz guys everyone's heard of. I'm real into that right now. Yeah. Only on vinyl, of course.
And of course. Shut up, Wesley.
Shut up. What else?
What else?
Tysis has a bit where when he's going down on the away mission, he said something about the blood of his ancestors.
Yep.
Like, I bet he heard Janeway likes this from her first officers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's when he's vowing not to let Majel get
yeah,
killed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know. It was a bit of a Chakotay line, and I feel like he's like, this will get her on my side. She really liked that guy. Blood of my ancestors. Like, Andorians don't give a fuck about that, but I will.
Blood of your ancestors, huh? All right.
Yeah, sure.
That's as good a reason as any as I can think of to endanger a 14-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm. I also have the note, this is the first time since we started this series that I have checked to see how much time is left.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good sign.
No. No.
No.
Listen, when it was on, by which I mean when Janeway was piloting a shuttle, like...
Yes, that was good
stuff.
Yeah, but when I wrote that note was... my note before that was, all right, the thing swallowed his time.
Yep. Well, you know, time is mind. So if you can eat a mind, you can eat a time.
A mind is a terrible thing to eat.
Yep.
And then Wesley talks on a telephone.
Oh, my God.
There must be a memory alpha page for people talking on landlines, because that is a handful of times throughout this franchise people do that. And we're supposed to think, oh, what a crazy incongruous thing.
Uh-huh. What I mostly noticed was that it's really hard to replicate a coiled phone cord in this type of animation.
Yeah, that makes sense. Those things kind of defy physics. I understand that.
They do.
I mean, I think you grew up at the tail end of them, so you probably remember them a little bit.
We definitely had those we had one of those long enough that a buddy of mine in high school came over once and had to call his mom and was like, okay, I have no idea how to dial this thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What, like a rotary dial, you mean?
A rotary dial, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was shocked because we were the same age.
Yeah. No, I know you, like, people your age are kind of the cutoff for that.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I remember. I'm old enough that I was just at the tail end of spelling out your phone number with the letters, like KL5 or whatever, you know. Like.
Yeah, you had to explain that to me once.
Yep. Yeah. It was a thing.
It's like, okay, Maggie, this is what Klondike 5 means.
Yeah, it's just the letters on the phone, that's all. It's easier to remember if you put a word in there.
That is actually smart.
Yeah.
Let's
see what else.
Oh, Wesley's... the way Wesley looks in this is also bad. Like...
I think they modeled him after Will Wheaton now.
That could be.
Which, I saw your note about that, and I think all the other guys from other series look the way they looked in those series, but... He looks the way he looks now, which is different.
Yeah, that's true. I have not looked at Will Wheaton in a while.
No, he showed up very briefly in that Picard episode. Mm-hmm. And between two things that made us real pissed off, so it's like, it's real easy to forget.
Yeah, well, the second he showed up, I was screaming into my phone at you, so, like...
Yeah, but that was 30 seconds before Project Khan. That's what I'm saying. That show hit us with, like, a triple whammy, and, like, mm-hmm. Wesley was sandwiched between two really stupid things, so, mm-hmm. like... I can't remember what the other one was, but I do remember within 3 minutes, like, three really stupid things happened.
Yep. They made Soji a traveler. She should have been in this episode.
There you go. That would have been a good...
I would have been way happier to have seen her.
And the show likes to tie all the shit together. Like, yeah. Some of the time stuff he's using was, like, he had the Bajoran Orb of Time, which is, mm-hmm. like, where did you get that? Give that back.
Yeah.
The British that Museum?
That belongs to the Bajoran people.
Yeah.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
What are you, Gul Dukat? Give that back. We had a thing where before they enter the time stream, he said, but don't look or you'll see your future. People don't like spoilers, which is a story. But also, Dal did look, and I know for the rest of the series, we're going to have his, like, oh, I looked and I'm going to do something I don't like. Like, I hate that.
Yeah, it's basically him, like, telling Gwyn he doesn't want to be a captain. Which, honestly, is a thing that makes sense, considering how much time he spends not wanting to study captain shit, you know?
But I hate, you know, we say this every time, but, like, the self-fulfilling prophecy thing, we're going to get into this a lot with Strange New Worlds, but what I've seen of that, they've handled it pretty well, where Captain Pike knows what's going to happen to him in the cage, ahead of time, and they manage to do it in a way that doesn't irritate me, but usually that kind of thing bothers me. Mm-hmm. Because it feels like magic.
Yeah. I don't like magic in these shows.
In Star Trek. No. I enjoyed Buffy and Angel back in the day. I can enjoy things like that. It's possible.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, it's not my favorite thing. But it's mostly because we're reviewing a science fiction show where I don't want it.
Mm. Science, dear boy.
Uh-huh. That's what I was saying about the time travel thing. It's like, what you have done is pull a really irritating wizard out to solve your problem instead of coming up with a logical, like, internally consistent way to solve it. You've just, you got this weenie.
Wesley Crusher, annoying weenie wizard fuck machine.
Don't forget murderer. That's gotta be
murderer.
Wesley Crusher, renegade, and murderer.
Wizard and murderer.
Yep, that's him.
Where's my bang ball? Hang on a sec.
What? Oh yeah, that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I was just talking about the Klingon ambassador, but
that's right.
Even better. Yep, yep. James T. Kirk, renegade and murderer.
Don't wait for the translation. Answer me now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie. See.
Yep. I have the note. Wow, he just really doesn't shut up, huh?
Nope, never.
Nope.
They assumed that people wanted to hear him talk, and no.
Do you remember that very brief period where he was reviewing Next Gen episodes?
Yeah.
And they were funny.
Yes.
They were legit funny, and we were like, okay, he was an annoying child actor, and some of that was probably the script, but he turned out okay.
Yeah.
And he rode that wave for, what, 6 months, a year?
I feel like it was a little bit longer than that, but, like...
Not long, though.
I think a lot of it was just like, God, this guy's annoying. And then he stole your jokes.
He never actually did that. Don't tell anyone.
No,
I just tweeted things at him, and then he would make the same jokes, and I thought, oh, well, he just saw my joke and said it, but, you know, now I understand, okay, no, he saw 10,000 tweets, and he probably didn't read all of them, that's fine, but whatever, he still sucks.
Yeah. No, I went from hating Wesley to liking Wesley to liking Will Wheaton to hating Will Wheaton.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we, during Next Gen, didn't like the way they wrote him as a kid. There was a very brief period where we liked the character. It was like, unfortunately, it was only like two of his guest spots when he came back.
Yes.
And then he sucked again.
Well, and his last episode is fucking terrible.
I think his first episode at the Academy was good before he killed a guy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was the Leffler one. That was the game, which was kind of a sucky episode, but he was good in it.
Yeah, he was good in it. And, like, the one where he kills a guy is a great episode.
Oh, it's a fantastic episode, but that also ruins the character. Like,
yes, it does.
Like, he's a murderer now. Mm-hmm. Never forget.
Yeah.
And look, you and I forget everything now. Like, we're old and, you know, lots of trauma is happening. And we're
tired. The world's on fire.
Yeah, we're forgetting things, but we will never forget. Mm-hmm. Wesley Crusher killed a guy.
Yep. Sure did. That sure doesn't come up in this episode around these children.
No, and as you say, Rock says you were in Nova Squadron. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like there should be, you know, I don't know sports that well, but I know there's some people who made some achievements, and there's an asterisk, and
yep.
that sort of clouds their legacy. I feel like Wesley Crusher's time at the Academy should have mm-hmm. a big old asterisk.
Yep. Hey, you're a member of Nova Squadron. Didn't mm-hmm. they kill a guy?
No Nova Squadron at the Academy for like 10 years, and then they mm-hmm. just sort of quietly brought it back. What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, weird. I can't talk about this now. Flippity jib it away.
Mm-hmm. And that that Nick Locarno guy who was causing trouble recently, like, mm-hmm. Wasn't he involved with all that?
Yeah, weren't you guys friends or something? Like, really good friends?
No, that was Tom Paris. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, we get reunited with Chakotay, so I guess we can't put this off any longer.
Mm-hmm. There he is.
But didn't he have a bird guy with him?
Yeah, bird guy died, I guess.
Did he?
Maybe.
Oh, well, Kaw, I guess.
Yeah. No, when the episode opens, they're, like, flying towards the pyramid. I guess mm-hmm. I guess you're right, it's the ziggurat.
Yeah, they actually, on Memory Alpha, they say it's the time ziggurat, which is mm-hmm. terrible. But
that
anyway.
That is not good at all, but okay, moving on.
Yep.
But someone's like, I'm getting a life sign. It must be Chakotay. I'm like, no, bird guy's not there.
Yeah.
It's some idiot who won't shut up.
Yeah, it sure is.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. From space, our sensors are picking up a monologue. I don't know. I don't even know how that works.
But. In space, everyone can hear you monologue. It's not a monologue if you just talk over everybody.
If you lock him in a room with the doctor, like the hologram doctor from mm-hmm. Voyager, what happens?
I feel like the room would just start to fill with speech bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're not even in this type of thing.
Nope, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the time thing, the squids or whatever the fuck are invading Voyager, they get to the doctor's light bee.
Yep.
Which I know is not what it's called, but yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. They're the loom, Al. Call them the loom. Ask me about loom.
I've read your button. I know.
I don't want people to ask me about Grim Fandango.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I would talk about Grim Fandango all day.
Yeah, same. All right. I keep hoping we have more to talk about because we're running a little short here. But
yeah, that'll happen sometime with these two-parters that are also...
That's true.
Like,
it's just one story, so, you know.
It's one... And, like, again, like, nothing happened in that first part.
That is true. And very little happened in the second.
Endless talking and talking. It was quite hypnotic.
It was not hypnotic.
No.
If I was hypnotized, I wouldn't be checking the runtime.
No.
All right. Well, I suppose that's all for this time.
Yeah.
Then.
All right.
Next time, it is called The Last Flight of the Protostar, and it's
that
another two-parter.
Cool.
I guess.
Hope it's
we'll
good.
See. We're going to go hang out with Chuck. So.
Yep.
You know. So yeah, I suppose that's all for this time. If you want to write to us, we're 5 weeks away from supplemental time already.
Mm-hmm.
So postatomichorror@gmail. The website is postatomichorror.com. If you want to jump on our Patreon, please do. It is patreon.com/Algar.
Mm-hmm.
As little as $1 a month, you can get episodes 13 weeks ahead. If you're hearing this on the regular feed, we're already on Strange New Worlds over there.
Yeah. You could hear
so
that.
Check that out. Yeah, and new Nick and Willikins going up over there as well.
Yes.
All kinds of stuff. So check that out. And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2025. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.